Number 2B.
Why is the word omnipotence? Yes? It is power, yes. Yes, it has to do with the all power, yes. Uh-huh. Well, perhaps it becomes clearer when we ask the next one. The next one is a bit the tricky one. You know, Christ as omniscience, if Mrs. Eddy would have put that as a fourth, we would have said, oh yes, naturally, you know, that's science and it's omniscience. Why is it the Christ, the omniscience? Yes? Yes, yes. It must be omniscient, huh? You want to say something, Amaji? Omniscience. The Christ has a dynamic sense, so why should it be omniscience? Yeah, yes, uh-huh. What other, yes, Luis? Yes. Yes? Yes, yes. If we go out from that, that's about what the friend has been saying, that if the Christ is that which can translate the divine principle to every point of experience, huh? To every point, every plane of thought, every point of experience, then naturally this divine principle must know, huh? Its whole universe must know everything in its realm, or else it couldn't translate itself to any specific idea. We always say that the Christ is that which brings to us, through divine mind reading, the understanding and the enlightenment of a specific idea. Well, that needs a terrific sense of omniscience, so that the one mind can know, so to say, every idea for every situation, the right idea for every specific case. That needs the all-knowing mind, the omniscient mind, really, or else it would not be possible to translate the one principle to the point of specific ideas. So that's why here we have the Christ as the omniscient. You can see, I guess, very easily why omnipresence is Christianity. How would you explain that to somebody, why that is Christianity? Omnipresence? Yes, come on. Yeah. Everywhere, huh? The moment you have an everywhere, the moment you have a universal sense, you have a space sense, we have a realm sense. The moment we have that, it's Christianity. Huh? We'll come back naturally to Christianity and define Christianity when we do the Christianity order. But perhaps right at this moment, we can already anticipate what we are going to say. You see, it's so easy, those four, to see. Especially next week, those who come to the textbook talks, when we go through recapitulation, we must calculate constantly with word, Christ, Christianity, and science, much more than with the seven synonymous terms. Therefore, we must have a rather flexible, warm kind of understanding of the four. You always can, so to say, define the first one word by saying the focus of the word is always on what is God, the focus. It's always depicting the Godhead, whatever, no matter if it is seeking that Godhead or if it's that Godhead declaring itself, that doesn't matter. It's always, the focal point is always on God. The focal point, I skip Christ, the focal point of Christianity is always on the creation of God, of God's creation, the outcome. So whenever we talk about man, about the universe, about the human experience, and so on, The moment we talk about that realm of living, the creation, the universe, the focal point is ideas and therefore Christianity. Now, Christ is always that which brings that word to the point of Christianity. Therefore, that message, that messenger between God, the Word, and Christianity. It's therefore always that operational sense, that expressing sense, where the Word says, I don't want to stay just what God is, I want to express myself infinitely as what I am, and therefore express myself infinitely as ideas, a universe of ideas. So, pictorially, you can always see, so to say, from your point of view, that you have first God, on this side, God, that naturally is the picture, and then the outflow of that God, the Christ is the divine message from God to, it's the flow, so to say, from God to, so whenever you have that flow and connection and relation from God to the universe, you have the Christ, and if we consider the outcome, the universe, alone, then really the focus is on Christianity. Oh yes, then we need naturally the fourth one. What is the fourth one? Omni-action. Now, why is omni-action a science? Yeah. Yes, yeah. So you have here a sequence of a very high order, actually, the omni sequence, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, is of a very high order. So that when you have that in consideration at the point of science, you say, all right, then actually nothing is ever going on, omni action, nothing is ever going on, but really that omnipotence as omniscience bringing forth in the omnipresence of being all that is going on. So you have science as the operational sense and seeing that from that high standpoint nothing is going on but God. That's a higher sense of being, so to say. We have seen that when we come to the fourth side, it's always a being sense. And that being sense here, as the omni, is showing that nothing is ever going on in being, but being itself. Yeah. Well, we will encounter this order here, when we come to next week, to the chapter on recapitulation, there we will encounter it again and again, and there we'll see how exactly Mrs. Eddy uses those terms. Yeah. All right, let's first go on and see, do we have other sequences? Oh, yes. Need, supply, abundance, and whole. Yes. I never heard that. That's a good one, huh? Yeah. Did you make that up yourself? Huh? Yeah. No? I mean, I have never heard that one. That's quite a good one, yes. That you have the need, which is in the Word, it's actually the desire to know more, it's the seeking process, then the supply is always the finding, yes. That's it, That's always the best way to know something, yes. So you have the need to supply, and then the third one, abundance, yes, a Christianity sense, and wholeness, yes. What else did we have also in the course of all our studies? Yeah, a mathematical symbol. Yeah. Now we have addition, as the word, subtraction as the Christ, then Christianity is what? Multiplication, yes. And then the fourth one is division. Yeah. Now, here again, we use these terms very loosely. The question is, do we understand what they mean? I mean, they are mathematical symbols, and in order that they mean something spiritually, we must translate them into spiritual concepts. Now, what does addition mean spiritually? Or why is addition the word spiritually? Yeah. Again, you have an ascending sense, huh? An accretion sense, you said, building one idea on top of the other. It's actually, the angels ascending the ladder from one rung to the next rung. It's again that sense of the days of creation, where in the days of creation we go from one day to the next and add always another day and another day until finally we all arrive at the seventh day. So it gives a sense of adding, of divine addition. It's there where we have the input, where we first fill our data bank with information. So have an adding and adding and adding sense. Yeah. It's therefore also a sense of seeking, really. So quite a few of the ideas which we already have in the column of word somehow correlate with that addition. Now, why is the Christ subtraction? Why is it divinely seen a subtraction? Is that subtraction in mathematics? The separation, is that subtraction? No. I don't think so, huh? Yeah. I think subtraction has another spiritual meaning. It's a, yes, you see, you subtract, you draw from. Huh? Now, the Christ is typically that you draw from, that one principle. Huh? It always comes from one principle, and so you draw from it, you take from it, that's subtracting. Hmm? You take away from it, so to say. Yeah? So the divine subtraction is therefore also a kind of deduction. Huh? We deduce always from a divine principle. And so in a way, I think the sense of deduction is the divine sense of it, which means that whenever we have deal with a problem, what we do is then not to use in the first place addition, but much more subtraction, namely that we go to the one principle and say, if I go out from the one principle and take from the one principle and deduce from the one principle, instead of deducing from the problem, instead of taking going to the problem and analyzing the problem, I go to the divine principle and begin to deduce from there. And the closer and more coherent I deduce from the divine principle, the more directly I come to a divine solution. So this is the divine deduction, or subtraction. Then we come to Christianity as multiplication. Why is Christianity multiplication? What means spiritually multiplication? We know now what it means in arithmetic multiplication, but what does it mean in the spiritual realm? Yes? Yes? Blending of science. Why is that multiplication? Exactly. How often can you use these ideas? Uh-huh. This makes up multiplication, huh? That even if you would only have a limited set of ideas of mind and spirit and soul, still you would have nearly an infinite possibility of blending ideas with ideas. So it is actually the calculation of ideas that is unlimited. So in multiplication we take something and through new relationships, new combinations, we always arrive at new ideas and new results. So that's exactly what we have seen before in Christianity, when we have that realm sense, that filling sense, fulfilling sense, that we can fill really the whole universe of our existence constantly by blending ideas with ideas, so that our whole life is one great blending of ideas, multiplication. Yeah, then we come to division as science. This is always a point that gives quite a lot of misunderstanding. What could mean divine division? For instance, you could do that, but the divine division is that you take the one without separating, really seeing the one instead of a mystical one. You can see it as a scientific one, and a scientific one is always a structured one which shows I can really divide up, spiritually divide up the one into categories, into the seven and the four and the four, and from there you can go on into subcategories and subtones and blendings of these categories, and you get the terrific kind of division without really dividing. So the divine division is actually the undivided sense of things. So when yes, it is indivisibility. That's why it's sometimes so difficult to get hold of this term, because it has those contrasting sense, or so, nearly a paradoxical meaning. On the one hand, it's indivisible. That divine division is indivisibility. On the other hand, what has said before, that indivisibility is still divisible, but only mentally, into categories and classifications.
Couldn't you define indivisibility as infinite divisibility in the whole, in each part?
Yes, that's, I think, what is meant here, yes. Remaining the whole in each part, yes. Yes, that's another point that you bring out here. You see that, so to say, every idea has always the characteristics of the whole. That's, I think, what you also want to point out. That, therefore, the indivisibility shows itself that if principle translates itself to the point of idea and ideas, that still these ideas have all the intrinsic qualities of the infinite principle. They don't represent just a part. I think that's the point. In division, usually you divide and then you have parts. In the spiritual realm, you can divide spiritually by dividing the whole into classifications. But the outcome of it is never a part. The outcome of it is always that every so-called part reflects the whole, and therefore is indivisible. Did I put that right? Yes. 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 See, this is so important, I think, this whole sense. As a student, you begin to add. We know that. As a student, you begin to gather single truths. And you add and add. And the whole energy is put into the question, where can I get more insights? And you gather, you add. Then once one has found a certain amount of insights, one says, all right, now, within my life work, I'm going to take from what I have. That's then the division, the subtraction. I begin now to subtract from what I have seen and begin to use it. So you come to the multiplication. Say, what I have seen in the world, I can take, that's the Christ, and can use it over and over and over. Multiplication. But then you always have to have some kind of a fourth sense, fourth attitude, because if we only go from word, Christ, Christianity, we still somehow have a feeling that the whole thing is divided up, that by adding you add again the parts to the whole, or if you subtract you take again away from the whole. You begin to use parts. There is somehow always some kind of a mistake still lingering in that consciousness. And therefore that fourth part is so important, that that fourth part comes and says, but actually what you have done is not that. Actually you have only used that which is always one and whole and could never lose any one of its parts, you could never take out a part of the whole. Actually, you always had the indivisible whole. And that is usually that which frees us then from the yoke of the work. Huh? And you get the sense of grace at that point. That you feel nothing had to be added. See, it is as if in science, when you come to science, that you say, actually, nothing could be added. Everything was already there. Actually, nothing could ever be taken away from, because you can't take anything away from being. And you correct Christianity and say, actually, there was no such a sense of using parts and using them all over, because parts don't exist. The whole always exists. Therefore, the whole is indivisible. And so science always gives us a kind of a relief that there is no work involved in the process of Word, Christ, Christianity. But science says there is no work in it. It's a being sense, it's a beingness there. Could I explain that with my slight sense of illustration what is meant by that foresight? Huh? So that we realize for ourselves that the way we go is actually that way of adding, subtracting, using. But if we don't go on, it becomes a burdensome way. The word of Christ and Christianity, if it holds there and if it doesn't go to science, it becomes a burden. It becomes the law of the works of the law. And therefore, really, science had to come in our age and explain that these are only human concepts of the word Christ and Christianity, that actually the scientific sense, the science sense of it is that it puts everything into the state of beingness, of isness. And that we'll see very distinctly when we take the science order at the end of this week, that there everything turns, that every processing turns into a consciousness of beingness. And then actually we have touched science. Yes. So we had that. Did we write that down? Addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. Division or indivisibility, actually. You cannot divide being. Being is indivisible. Yeah. I think we make a stop here and go on after the break.